Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. It's so good to have you in the house of the God this morning. We want to invite you to come forward for our worship and our praise. In the Bible, Mary came and she brought an alabaster box full of this beautiful perfume that had cost her an entire year's wage. And others had stood by and watched her pour out that gift upon Jesus. And they said, why would she waste that year's worth of wage? Why would she waste that gift upon Him when she could have sold it and given the money to the poor? But what she was doing was she was pouring out her entire being, all of her worth, everything that she was, onto her Savior, her Redeemer, the one who loved her unconditionally, the one that could forgive her of all things, the one who held every promise for her life in His hands. See, she recognized who He was and who He could be in her life. So she poured out that perfume the way that we have opportunity to pour out our praise to our Savior. The Bible tells us that we should pour our praise out like a drink offering unto our Savior. And it's our praise that causes mountains to move in your life. It's our praise that makes the stumbling blocks go away. It's your praise that causes things to happen. So I challenge you to put God to the test and praise Him with all of your might, all of your worth, everything that you've got, and watch God. Just watch Him move in your life. Heavenly Father, we have set our faces to You. We are looking for You this day, for Your presence, the move of Your hand, for Your supernatural power. Holy Spirit, flow through this place. Consume us, change us, transform us, make us new. Father, change the way we think, change the way we see, change the way we hear. Change every single part of us in this day so that we can bring You more glory. This is about ministering to You, Jesus. We love You. We honor You in this place. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. All right, before we get into this, I need you to find five people, and I want you to say, just to let you know, your level of praise determines your level of breakthrough. Go ahead and find five people. Your level of praise determines your level of breakthrough. Hallelujah. That means if you walk in here with something big, you need to give Him a big praise. Amen.
Bless the Lord. Bless bless him. Come on and praise his name. Come on and bless him.
Come on, let's sing that again.
Come on and bless him. Come on and praise his name. Come on and bless him.
Come on, bless the Lord.
Come on and bless him. Come on and praise his name. Come on and bless him.
Rest you move a little bit.
Bless the Lord. Our God is healer, our son and power, our God, our God. God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God.
One more time, everything you got.
Our God is greater, our God is stronger, but you are higher than any.
Come on, right in the face of your circumstance, sing it out.
Awesome in power, our God, our God.
Come on, if your God is greater than anything else on this planet, I want you to just praise him with everything you have right now. Go ahead, tell him how great he is. Tell him how magnificent he is. Tell him how powerful he is.
How many of you love to praise and worship our God? It's such an honor. How many of you don't like praise today? Don't raise your hand. It's okay, we're not singing to you. God, send your glory down. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your spirit. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory down.
Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your spirit. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory down. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your spirit.
Come on, church.
Send the winds of refreshing,
God, send your glory down. Send the refreshing, God, send your spirit. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory down. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your spirit. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory down. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your spirit. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory down. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your spirit. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory. For your glory, I will do anything just to see you, to behold.
just to see you, to behold you as my King, for your glory I would do anything just to see. Send your spirit, send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory down. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your spirit. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory down. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your spirit. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory down. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your spirit. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory down. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your spirit. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory down. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your spirit.
Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory down. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your spirit. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory down.
For your glory, I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. For your glory, I will do anything just to see.
Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your spirit. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory down.
For your glory, I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. For your just to see you, to behold you as my King.
Just the voices, lift up his name.
I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. For your glory, I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. For your glory, Lord,
I would do anything
just to see you.
Anybody love the presence of Jesus in this place? You know that there's always greater levels and depths of every relationship. And this morning, man, I believe that we're just going to take another step, all right? just another step with Jesus. This isn't about religion to us. This is about a relationship with the Most High God, a living, loving God. I told First Service, and I used it as an example a couple weeks ago. We're going to sing another song. I just want to encourage you real quick. I heard a guy who was telling a story about his grandson that had been taken. He was at a park, and his grandson was playing, and he was sitting on a bench a little bit away, a little bit back, and he said, "Stay close. I want to be able to see you," as any good grandparent or parent would do. And he said after a couple minutes, he looked up from his work, and he saw that a man had come up and grabbed his grandson and started to run the other direction. He's like, "Naturally, I did what anybody would do. I threw my work to the side, and I got up, and I started to chase this man." He said, "I chased him with so much purpose. I've never had purpose like that before. I chased him with so much purpose because he had my grandson." He said, "I chased him with so much passion because he had my grandson." He said, "I started to sweat." He was a larger man. He said, "I started to sweat. I pushed through. I pushed through the perspiration. I pushed through the pain because he had my grandson." He said, eventually, he took over the man and he grabbed his grandson. He said, in that moment, he felt God ask him this question. So I felt God say, "What would happen if you chased me with that much passion? What would happen if you chased me with that much purpose? What would happen if you chased me over any obstacle that was in the way?" Look, this morning as we go to the last song, with our hands lifted from the back to the front, can we chase him with that kind of passion and get to that next level? Can we chase him with that kind of purpose? Maybe you have some obstacles. Will you chase him past an obstacle this morning? Just so we can have more of Jesus. Let's come on. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want more. We need you. Father, we love you. We know it's you that we want. It's you that we desire. It's you that holds everything we're looking for. So expose yourself. Give us more, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus. You're ready. You're ready for more. You're ready for greater. Can I just see your hands lifted? Let's go ahead and engage heaven. Let's go ahead and worship the King on a new level this morning.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you, Jesus. You're my hope and stay. Teach my soul to rise to you. Jesus. Jesus, you are. See, Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
It's not the world, but it's Jesus.
Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
You're no match for sin, but Jesus.
Jesus is my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my
every month, every year, every decade. Lord, we need you. Lord, this morning we desire you to come here, Lord God. This is your house. This is we are your people, Lord God. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you'd move in our lives, Lord God, not so that, Father God, we'd have something, but Lord God, that you'd give something that, Father, we can glorify you. We bring glory to your name. Lord, we're not here to gain something in the natural, but Lord God, we're gaining supernatural. Jesus. Jesus. Father, help us arrest our hearts, our imaginations, Lord God. Father, there's things that we're thinking about coming in here and, Lord, doing church, but Lord God, we're not here to do church. Jesus, we want to meet with you. We want to know that, Father, when we come into your house, that we've touched heaven. With every hand lifted up. Jesus, we need you. Every hand lifted up. Let's sing that again. How bad do you need him this morning? How hungry are you for God?
Every hour I need
Jesus.
You, my one defense,
Jesus.
My righteousness.
Jesus.
Oh God, how I need
Hallelujah. Come fill us up this morning.
Oh,
Hallelujah.
I don't know what it is, but someone in here, if you have pain in this area right here, it runs kind of in your leg, up in your stomach, God is healing you in the name of Jesus. We speak right now the blood of Christ over your body. In the name of Jesus, I command it to go right now. I want it to go because I don't want to feel it no more. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for healing. We thank you, Lord God, that you're Jehovah Rapha. You care for us. Jesus. In Jesus' name, I even speak to sinus headaches in Jesus' name. I bind them up. I cancel the assignment right now. I command sinus cavity to clear up in Jesus' name. If you've been having sinus headaches or sinus problems, raise your hand up. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, that name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, sickness has got to bow. So right now, I command you in Jesus' name, go. Right now, I speak the blood of Christ over the body of Christ, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, that you're the healer. You're the healer. How many of you love being in the presence of an Almighty Father? You know, there's nothing like this. It's like, you know, when you're out and about and people go through situations and struggles in life, I often ask myself, I can't even think, I can't even fathom how I could operate without the Lord. And thank God we have Jesus, amen? You know, we in this room have Jesus, and there's people out there that need to know about Jesus. We got some work to do, right, church? We got some work to do, right? Who's excited to be in the house of God this morning? We had to have a separation contest first service. Front service won the contest, but we won't do it again because, you know, it's just cool. So, listen, on your way back to your seat, I want you to give five people a high five, okay? A high five. Give five people a high five on your way back to your chair. If you're in your chair and you've yet to get out, I challenge you, get out and give some high fives today. We'll be right back.
NHT family, it is time to settle on into your seats and pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming.
What would happen if the people of God started handling money God's ways? You work too hard to get to the end of your life and have nothing to show for it.
This is my family's legacy that I'm talking about here. I've got to have a plan and be focused.
That knowledge that you pass down to your kids, that is how you change a family tree.
You change your life when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you have that moment where you say, I've had it. I am not going to live like this anymore.
So we got to be a little louder. It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. There we go. If you are a guest and it's your first time joining us today, we just want to welcome you. So if you have not yet received a guest packet, would you just raise your hand? We have something that we want to get in your hand. This is important because we want you to know more about us. There's a connection card. There's things for you to fill out, and it's going to be awesome. Listen, due to the weather kind of being a little cold today, we have moved guest reception back indoors. So after service, my left, your right, you're going to go through those doors to the guest reception where we have a team that is ready to meet you. We have some light refreshments, and so it's going to be a great time. If you're watching us on live stream, we love you. Welcome. It's going to be a good word today, so get ready. Then just two things real quick. This week is prayer and fasting. I am so excited for what God is going to do. We have noon services as well as 7 p.m. every night, Monday to Thursday. Come on, be a part of this with us. We're believing God for big things. So on your seat, you should have received our prayer points for the week. If you didn't receive one, that's okay. Right after service, you can get some at the hub. But these are the points that we're believing God for this week. And so I'm excited because when we pray, God moves every single time. And then last but not least, tonight is Awaken Monthly. So if you're between the ages of 18 and 30, come hang out with us. Doors are opening at 5:45. We have a mechanical bull, so it's going to be great. I honestly don't know what's going to happen. Anything can happen at Awaken Monthly. So I am excited. Childcare is provided, and there's also walking tacos tonight. So you want to come hungry. It's going to be awesome. But right now, if you would just prepare your hearts, we're going to go into a time of tithes and offerings with Pastor Obi.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How y'all doing this morning? This is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. So I'm going to ask you guys one more time. How you guys doing this morning? Amen, amen. We are so thankful for what God is doing. We're about to enter into our time of tithes and offerings. There's typically an envelope in your seat, but if you do not have one, could you just raise up your hand? We'll have the ushers get one to you. And while you guys are starting to fill out your envelopes, let me just talk to you guys really quickly about what the Lord has placed on my heart for today. In the story in the Bible in 1 Kings chapter 18, we have a man named Elijah who is in a battle with some false prophets. And he really wants the God that we serve to answer him. Who here wants God to truly answer them? Amen? Okay, only half of us. Okay, we have one more part of the service. We're going to get everybody saved. Amen? Who wants God to answer them? There it is. Awesome. Thank you. Please work with me. Please work with me. It's almost lunchtime. We're almost there, people. And he is saying, Lord, there has to be a way for you to show yourself to be the one true God. So there are three things that he begins to encounter, and you and I have actually gone through two of them already about how to get God to respond to us. The first one is hunger. Shout hunger. You've got to be hungry for the things of God. Elijah was a man that was hungry for the things of God. You are brilliant for being in the house of God today because you are hungry for the things of God. You did not wake up this morning in this cold, get out of your warm, comfy blankets, put on some clothes, brush your teeth, wash your face, and come to church just because you just wanted just a little bit of God. You want all that God has for you today, amen? You are hungry for the things of God. You are brilliant to be in the house. God is going to satisfy your hunger. Number two is that God responds to praise. Shout praise. This altar was full of people that had their hands lifted up. They were praising God undignified. They were dancing undignified because guess what? They understand that their praise will force God to begin to listen to them. His hand is not too short, nor his ear too deaf. He hears your praise. When he hears your praise, walls come down. When he hears your praise, the impossible begins to happen. Not only are you hungry, but you also have a praise in your mouth. But guess what? In addition to your hunger and your praise is a gift to give to the Lord, and that's called your offering. Shout offering. You see, Elijah made an offering for the Lord, and then God saw that his hunger with his praise and an offering forced the God that we serve, the God of fire, to answer. The Bible declares that fire came down from heaven and consumed that offering, and from that point on, Elijah's life was never the same again. Everyone that tried to come against him, guess what? They were knocked out because the God of fire, it will protect you and burn up everything else that is against you. I'm excited for you today. Because if you're ready to give, you can stand up to your feet. But when you give, not if, but when you give, the God that answers by fire is about to answer every single situation in your life. Any financial problem, he will answer today. He's the God of fire. Any relationship issues, he will answer today. He's the God of fire. Any family problems, answer today. He's the God of fire. Any issues with your job, he will answer today. The God of fire. Any healing issues in your body, any sickness, he will answer today. He is the God of fire. I truly believe that with this offering that you give, the fire of God is about to come down and hit your life, and everything that you need shall be answered today in your offering. Are you guys ready? Come on, repeat after me. If I obey, then I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They trip me up because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Not only if you're a Bible-believing Christian, shout it out with me. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. If you're ready, you can come out to the aisles and come down to the front altar and to give your offering to the Lord.
Bless the Lord, Almighty Ones. Bless the Bless the Lord, all you His angels, and let all the earth be His dominion. Bless the Lord, Almighty Ones. Bless the Lord, heavenly hosts. Bless the Lord.
Is this Sunday going so far? All right, two people are enjoying themselves in the presence of God. Can I hear a third person that's excited about Jesus this morning? Maybe a fifth? Come on, come on. Look, I'm so excited about this morning. Man, I'm excited to be in the house of God. Real quick, in 2 weeks, we have one of our biggest events of the year. I actually believe it's better than Christmas. I believe it's better than Easter. Not the celebration, but the impact we can have. And that's Welcome Home Weekend. We have a video real quick we want to share with you. If you can turn your attention to the screens.
Jesus wants to see your friends and family come to salvation even more than you do. That's why this year at Welcome Home Weekend, we've got 4 opportunities for your friends and family to be saved. On Friday, September 21st at 6:30, the 22nd at 4, and the 23rd at our 9 and 11 a.m. services, we're putting on the production called Life's Choices. It's kind of like Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames, but with our own His Tabernacle family twist. On September 22nd, there's our Welcome Home Weekend celebration starting at 2 p.m. We're going to have family fun games and food and inflatables for the kids to come out to. I hope to see you there.
I don't just hope to see you there. I'm excited that I get to see you there. Again, look, this is one of the biggest ways to see the kingdom of heaven increase. And this is why almost 80% of people come to church because of friends and family inviting them. And we believe having a great weekend, we're going to have a skit, almost like Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames, talking about the severity and the importance of eternity. Man, eternity is real, and we want to see your friends and family in the house of God because we believe it. Do we believe that heaven is real and we want to empty the gates of hell? Let's make sure we have our friends, our family, our loved ones here so they can experience Jesus and they can feel the family that we have here at His Tabernacle. Thank you, guys.
You know what that is? You know what this
is. The throne
is.
Of your heart?
This is the throne of my heart.
I've been waiting, Aaron.
I know. I'm so good.
I've been waiting for this.
Yep. So, you sit here on the throne of my heart.
Got it.
What you say, I do. When you say no, I don't do. Make sense?
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay, cool. Yeah, got it. I'm excited. Wow, you look great in that chair. That's good. It fits you well. It's like shaped to you and everything.
It's like I was meant to be here.
Oh, yeah, my gosh. Hey, Aaron.
Hi, Emily.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. So, remember that Bible study we just had like 2 days ago?
Yes,
Well, I still have a lot of questions, and I was wondering if you could come over to my house, you know, have like a one-on-one session so I can ask more questions.
Yes.
Is Tuesday okay? Do you think that would work for you?
Tuesday.
Rock solid faith, Tuesday.
I'm free Tuesday.
Okay, awesome. Well, then I'll see you there.
Okay.
Okay, bye. See you
soon. Bye, Emily.
Really?
Wow.
Really?
Oh, crap. Sorry, Jesus. But Jesus, wait, hold up, Jesus. Okay, you said we need to teach the word, we need to preach the word, and she just needs help learning about you, so that's what I'm here for.
Aaron, I know the desires of your hearts, and I know that her intentions with you privately are not pure.
Well, okay, you're right, okay.
Yeah, I know.
I won't hang out with Emily. It's fine. You know what you're doing.
That's right.
I got you, okay. All right, so we're going to try this again. Sorry about sitting down, old habits die hard.
Oh my God, Aaron!
Brother Aaron, how are you?
Great.
What are you doing? Okay,
so
right.
Just hanging out. What are you doing?
Listen, right. So Pastor came and talked to us. Right?
Yeah.
He wants us to go and pray for the old folks.
Pray for the old folks.
Yes. Yep. Okay. Listen. So pray for the old folks in Christ's name.
Yeah.
Do you see that vision?
Did you name that?
Yeah. Listen. But it was all Pastor. He put it on us. He put it on our hearts, and we just made it.
Come on.
Oh, good.
Isn't that great? Yeah. When? What would we be doing?
We're going to be washing the people's feet.
Washing them?
You know, scraping up the fungi.
Yeah.
You know, getting the bucket.
Oh. Yeah. When is this again?
It's on Saturday.
Saturday.
I'm not free.
Saturday. Well, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Well, see, you remember Aunt Tina?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Aunt Tina's coming. Yeah, bless her. She's allergic to cats.
Okay.
And, you know, I own a cat, and because I don't want her to get sick, I got to shave my cat.
Yeah. I mean,
understandable.
I care about my aunt.
Thank God our God is a healer. We can pray for her and heal her right up, in Jesus' name.
We've already prayed. It's coming, Melissa, but you know,
coming.
The healing is on its way.
Listen, you want to hear this?
What do we want to hear?
Well, we're washing the people's feet, and we're preaching the Bible to them. Man, we doing two biblical things at the same time.
Come on.
Well, like I said, a busy Saturday.
Yeah.
At what time?
All day.
Listen, we staying the night.
Beds are bad for my back. Got that.
Pray for that too.
We're not gonna be sleeping. We're gonna just be preaching the Bible to the people.
Yep.
I'm gonna let you know.
All right.
Probably not this Saturday, but you know.
But listen, we doing 7 Saturdays straight. Seven months.
And you know what 7 means, right? Completion. Come on.
Okay. But I also work Saturdays usually like.
Yeah.
Till it's over and
All
right. I'm gonna call you.
You got my number?
607-9.
7779.
Oh, you changed it.
Yeah. I did. All right,
you just lost it.
It's not as wrong,
you know,
folks.
Okay, you hear me?
Bye. All right, God. Amen.
Oh, Jesus. What you doing on the floor?
I'm gonna tell you.
What? Why was you?
I called you.
Uh-huh.
To be a servant of God.
Hold on, I'm gonna stop you right there. You called me to be a servant to the children and to lead the worship, not to minister to old people.
When you're ministering to those elderly people, you're actually serving me.
Fine, so...
Yeah.
Fine, I'll call them and let them know I can go. Come on. Yeah!
Isn't our God just a way maker? Miracle worker, promise keeper. Come on.
Wake up at 4 a.m.
Yep.
We're going to call you. We're going to call you. You don't got calls. We're going to call you.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get there, and then it's going to be about 5 o'clock. Yep. We're going to start preparing. And then we're going to be at 6 a.m. at Apple Ridge.
Come on. Apple Ridge.
Woo!
Come on. Man, we should just close this out in what?
Prayer.
Come on.
Okay. Come on. Let's pray.
Come on.
Jesus' name.
Come on. Yes.
We pray for our fellow brother, Aaron. Yes. Aaron, to come out and pray for the old folks. See our vision.
Come on.
Jesus, come into this place. Come into this man. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Hold on, wait.
Yep.
Jesus.
There it is.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We love you, brother.
We will see you
there,
Aaron.
Okay.
Bye.
You're lucky I love you. Because those two... It's all right. You win again, big guy, you know? Oh, Jesus. Do you see that?
Yep, that's...
That's Mason.
Yeah,
She's the worship leader.
Yep, oh my.
Mason, oh my gosh, you look so good. Have a seat. Did you get a haircut? Oh, look at them nails.
Okay, that's
enough. That was expensive. You look so great. So, okay, auditions for the choir are on Thursday, and I've been practicing. You want to hear my song? Okay.
No.
You made the time to move. So what do you think? That good?
I think.
She's speechless.
The auditions are over.
Oh, did you already fill the spot?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll audition next time, because you know.
There is no next time.
No, there will be. No. Well, bye, Mason. I hope you have a really great day. Okay, I love you. You know, Jesus, she's stubborn, but she's like Carrie Job, and I'm like Brian Johnson, and one day, famous. Why you ain't there?
Because.
Why come that is?
Well, are you worshiping me, or are you worshiping Mason?
Okay, here, we're just gonna do this. I'm gonna need you just to take the chair from me, and just like go. Okay,
gotta,
just take it.
You gotta let,
take
let
the chair, Jesus!
The chair. Aaron, you gotta let go of it. You gotta let go of it. You have to let go of it.
I can't. I can't let go.
If you can't, then I can't either.
Wow.
when that's the conclusion of the service. I'm sorry. Mike, that'll preach, though. Guys, this morning, I'm blessed to be here with you. Our pastors are up in Canada helping launch a church, and I get to be here. My name is Pastor Cody. I've been the youth pastor here for 8 years, if you don't know me. And I'm blessed that I get to preach the word this morning. Man, I love this skit because it's funny, but it also holds a great level of reality. This morning, I want to talk to you about having average results and also about having uncommon results. See, the title of the message, if you're taking notes, is called Mehova. And then there's Jehovah. And I want to get into this morning, and I just want to let you know real quick before we even get into this that some people can perceive this as a harsh or mean message, but God's been beating me up the last couple years, and I'm excited that I'm going to be able to share this with you. Amen? Awesome. We're going to get right into it this morning because Pastor Dan took forever to end worship. I'm just playing. I love picking on him. If you have your Bible, go ahead and open up to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to start in verse 15, and we're going to go through verse 19 real quick. And this is Jesus speaking. He said, it says, then he asked them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, he said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I love this portion of scripture because Simon Peter got to define who God was to him. What I love is we get to all answer this question for ourselves every single day. Every single day we get to answer the question, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter's answer was the correct answer. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. You are Lord. You are Messiah. You reign. Now, love that we get to answer this personally. And our answer never actually changes who he is, but how we see him and how we portray him for our own lives. See, God doesn't change. He never changes, but how we see him, how we interact with him changes often. Some people, they see God as a bully. Some people, they see him as a God that disappoints. Some people see him as an angry God. Some people see him as a God of simply religion. But man, I'm so excited that we can see him as a living God, a loving God, a God who loves his children, a God that sacrificed his life for us, a God that has our best intentions, a God that wants to spend eternity with us. Come on, we get to serve a great God. We get to serve the greatest God, the most high God. But the question really today is, how do you see God? Because how we see God is how we will interact with God. And I love that really how we see God is not what man tells us, but what the Lord reveals to us. And that's why I love moments of worship that we just had, because I know in this place, God just revealed and showed himself to people on a deeper and greater level. I love the word of God because it reveals deeper and greater levels of who he is and what he's going to do for us and with us and through us. But I love that Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And because of that, we go through and we find out that he knew this because revelation from heaven. And because he knew this, God said that he would be fruitful. God said that he could be built off. And because of this, he would have the keys to the kingdom. See, what I've recognized and what I've seen and what's so heartbreaking to me, I've grown up in church, man. I've probably missed church in all of my 28 years, like, I can count on my hands and toes. And that's not to brag, or that's not my ticket to heaven. But what I'm saying is I've seen a lot in church. And unfortunately, I've seen a lot of people walk away from God. I've seen some people who get saved on a Sunday, and by the next Sunday, they've completely walked away. I see some people, they're in the house of God for 6 or 7 months, and then eventually something happens, and they walk away. I've seen some people, it's been a decade, and they walk away. And unfortunately, I've seen people serve God for 60 years, and something happens, and they walk away. And I don't want to see that of any believer. It breaks my heart. I can't imagine what it does to God's heart. But this morning, I want to help reveal the answer to you. I want to help reveal what God's been dealing with me about for the last couple years. And that's not that we serve God as our Savior, but we serve Him as our Lord. This morning, I want to talk about the topic of lordship, which isn't a popular topic, but it's a topic that changes everything for us. It brings us from one position into a position that we can receive and remain in. It's the most powerful thing that I've ever seen is when we go from just giving our lives to Him to truly submitting to Him. Not bouncing by situation to situation. Not just allowing things to happen to us and reacting emotionally. But making a decision that you're the Lord of all of my life. See, it's sad to me when people come and they serve God for 6 months and then they get offended and they leave. It's sad to me when people serve God for a few years and then a man or a woman comes and they go and follow the man or the woman and they stop following God. This happens because of lordship. This happens because we need a revelation of who He actually is in our life. Amen? See, we need a Lord, not just a Savior. And it's not going to be my normal jump around, shout, scream kind of message. I want to teach a couple minutes. But man, I'm excited about this because I really believe this has everything that you're looking for. It's not just I get to go to heaven. It's, man, I get everything that God has for me here on earth as well. He has everything that we're looking for. And the key is lordship. The parable of the virgins is really interesting to me because what we find is 10 virgins. And these 10 virgins, we also find that they all had lampstands. And all 10 of them, they had trimmed their lamps. And they heard that the bridegroom was coming. So what they did is all 10 virgins, they started out on a journey. But 5 virgins found out that they weren't going to have enough oil to make it all the way. They were unprepared to meet with the bridegroom. And the 5 that were prepared, they were entered in and they got to enter into the party into what they had prepared themselves for. But when the 5 that were unprepared showed up, they knocked on the door and the Lord answered. He said, I never knew you. Who are you? And this scares me because I really believe this is a picture of the church. I really believe this is a picture of where we lie. Honestly, this is a picture of religion. I've heard people preach the parable of the 10 virgins from a standpoint of sin, but I don't believe it's truly a standpoint of sin. I really believe it's a standpoint of religion versus relationship. See, all 10 of them were virgins. And a virgin we know is someone who set themselves aside. They've set themselves aside for something. They've remained holy. They've remained pure from something. Much of the church is holy and remain pure from something, but they lack relationship. All 10 of them had clipped their candles so they looked good. That word trimmed means to make look nice, is to make presentable for something. Not only did they hold themselves apart, they looked presentable, but why didn't all of them get entered in? I truly believe it was nothing to do with sin and everything to do with religion and relationship. See, from the beginning of time, God's goal was not a laundry list of rules. It's always been relationship. All the way back to Adam and Eve, it's always been relationship. It's always been based in love. It's always been based in the fact that I love you so much. I created you with an intention to have relationship with you, to walk with you, to talk with you, to love you, and to receive love back from you. From the very beginning, that's always been the intention. So when we talk about lordship, please don't believe that it's a laundry list of do's and do nots. It's a laundry list of do you love me? In the New Testament, Jesus was asked, they said, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And he looked at him and he responded, he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, and all of your strength. He said, the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself.
And every time I had read that, I was like, that's so good. That's it, Jesus. That's it. That's the answer. It's not am I good enough, it's do I love good enough. But I looked at the footnotes last week and I was blown away. Like, footnotes are a powerful tool in your Bible. And I looked at it and it had parentheses Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. So I flipped back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. And a lot of us, if we've gone to Rock Solid Faith, which we should all go to Rock Solid Faith, we should all join a group, we should all be learning greater things in Jesus so we can grow. But it's crazy because Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one." Most of us have heard this, but verse 5 is so powerful because this is what it says. It says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your strength. You know what's crazy is all the way back to the law, it boiled down to love God with everything that you have. And it's so cool to me because I started to do some research on this and I found out that Jewish people actually have this as a part of their prayers every single morning and every single night. It's called the Shema. Every single morning and every single night, it's included in their prayer. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your strength. And then before bed at night, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your strength. Can I tell you, the very beginning of time, it's always been about loving Jesus. Can I tell you, to access him not just as Savior but as Lord, it will always be about loving Jesus. Oftentimes it's easy to slip into religion though and trying to fulfill a laundry list. We can't fulfill a laundry list. That's why we needed Jesus. But because of Jesus, so cool, we can now actually fulfill, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, all your strength. See, we can attain the common. We can have the common things. We can have what everybody else has. Let me ask you this. Has anybody ever had a bat in their house? Have you ever had a bat in your house? Raise your hand. I have a crazy story, all right? One time, we're at youth retreat, and this was like my very first youth retreat. These wild people decided to hire a 19-year-old kid. I don't know what the heck they were thinking, but we're at youth retreat, and my friend is preaching. We got like 50 teenagers in this room. My friend is preaching, and a bat starts flying around. Like, as he's preaching, a bat is, like, swooping around at people. You got, like, 50 teenagers. Little girls are screaming hysterically, like, hiding under chairs. Ah! You got the boys, like, freaking out. So I grabbed a broom. All right, what are you doing? Grabbed a broom. I take, like, 6 swings at this thing. It was out of control. Then the guy who was preaching is like, all right, let's try something different. And it comes, and someone had held the door open, and I took a left-handed swing, smacked it, and went right out the door. Like, boom, what's up? Apparently, I should have been a lefty in baseball. But it was crazy because that bat was gone in that moment. Anybody ever gotten rid of the one bat that came in your house before? It's a battle. It is not fun. It is not easy. But you know what I learned? If you just get the one bat out and not the nest, they're going to come back. Another bat is going to come back in that house eventually. And it's important to take care of the bat, but it's much more important to take care of the nest and to seal the hole. That way the bats can't return to where they originally started. What I'm trying to say to you is, it's important that we remove sin from our lives, but it's more important that we remove the root of sin from our lives. That if we just focus on the things we can presently see, they'll always return until we remove the things that are producing the sins that we presently see. It's important that we don't just focus on the things that are flying around and obnoxious and we know that are wrong. It's important that we remove them from their very core. In Genesis chapter 35, verses 1 through 4, God is talking to Jacob. And what had happened is he told Jacob, he said, I want you to go back to Bethel. And when you go back to Bethel, before you go back to Bethel, I want you to go ahead and have everybody repent. And I want you to have them put on new clothes. And I want you to take all of their idols that they've been worshiping that aren't me. And I want you to destroy them. So what the people did is they repented of their sins and they put on new clothes, which was representing a change of who they were. And oftentimes we do this in church, man. We have such an amazing pastor, and oftentimes many of us feel like he's talking right to us. And we'll get right, we'll repent of our sins, we'll get right with what needs to be corrected. But then in a couple weeks, it's right back in the same place. And it's wild to me because all the way back in Genesis chapter 35, it happened there as well. What happened is all the people repented. They put on their white garments and they brought their idols, their pagan idols that they had been worshiping, and they brought them to Jacob. And Jacob, while he was told to destroy them, while he was told to remove them, what he did instead is he buried them at the base of a tree in a certain area. What's so sad to me is the people repented, but eventually they started to serve those idols again. You know what happens so often is God calls us to remove things from our life, and we'll remove them visibly from what people can see, but we'll bury them at the base of a tree. What I'm trying to say is, I love repentance. I believe repentance is one of the most powerful things. But if you want a savior, if you don't just want a savior and you want a Lord, it can't just stop at repentance. It needs to be removed. What happens often is we'll repent and we'll turn. And when we don't remove, but we bury, is when we get into a place that's uncomfortable, we get into a place where we don't feel right, or we get in a place where we're not sure what's going on, it's easy to go back to that place and dig up what we had once buried and start to worship that again, because we know the production of it, we know the comfort of it, and we know where to find it. And oftentimes that's what happens, and it breaks my heart when I see people removed from alcoholism, but they go back to it when something goes wrong. I see people, they've been set free from an addiction or pornography, and as soon as something starts shaking in their life, they'll go back to it. See, God never called us to go back to it. He called us to remove it. He called us to destroy it, not to bury it for later use. The only thing that should be buried in our heart is the word of God. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, "Your word I have treasured, your word I have stored up in my heart, so I will not sin against you." And see, when we repent and remove those things, there's a giant shift. When we repent and we remove and replace them with the word of God, now instead of going back to what you used to do and to your old comforts, you can start to draw from something different. Instead of going to alcoholism, you can recognize the joy of the Lord is my strength. Instead of going back there, I now have freedom. Instead of going back to an addiction, you say, "Who the Son has set free is free indeed." And you can pull that out. See, there's an importance in not burying old sins in idols, but destroying and removing them. Amen. It's really like an all or nothing kind of gospel. Remember the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19, who's a young man who had pretty much everything, and he came to Jesus and said, "What do I got to do to inherit eternal life?" And he said, I followed the rules. I followed the law from being a young child. And Jesus looked at him and said, "Here's what you need to do. Sell all of your riches and give to the poor. Sell everything that you have and give to the poor." And the Bible, I believe this is really such a sad, sad piece. The Bible says that what he did is he turned away from God and went away sad because his riches were more important to him. It's sad to me because what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? What does it profit us if we have all of these things and we're in control of our own life and we make our own decisions and we don't truly serve him as our Lord? We end up walking away. What does it profit us? What about in Luke chapter 6, verse 46? Jesus looked at his disciples, and man, he spoke really harshly to his disciples. He looked at his disciples and said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things I tell you to do?" Ouch. Jesus. Like, I thought you were full of grace and mercy. Dang. He is. But in Romans chapter 6, it says, should we continue to sin because of grace? Certainly not. We've been set free from those things. We've been set free from being the king of our heart. We have a new king. I love that we get to serve him as Lord, not just Savior, because he really has everything that we're looking for. What's wild to me, though, is the incentive package that sin puts forward is enticing, and that's why a lot of people end up going back to Mehovah or half-cheeking it with Jesus. If sin wasn't enticing to people, they would never do it, right? Like, if sin wasn't interesting or didn't look good, we'd never do it. I can't say that. What happened is in Genesis chapter 45, the people of God were living in a state of famine, and Joseph was living in Egypt. And he was going to bring his dad and his family back into Egypt. And you need to know that Egypt is a shadow. It's an allusion to slavery. It's an allusion to sin and death. So what happened is you have Joseph's family. You have God's people starving in a famine. And it was because of their sins. It's a different message, different day. But what happened is Egypt sends an incentive package to come and check out the land. The Bible teaches that they sent 10 donkeys. Verse 23 in Genesis chapter 45, they sent 10 donkeys, and those 10 donkeys were full of the goods of Egypt. And they had grain, and they had bread and other provisions for his journey. So not only were they saying, look, I have all these good things. I have all these great things. I'll even pay for you to get here. And what they did is they ended up accepting the incentive package. They ended up accepting what it was offering, and they had 40 years of prosperity, but 400 years of slavery. That's what sin does, guys. That's what sitting on the throne of our own heart does, is it trades the good things for the short-lived things. See, you know all that Joseph had to offer was all that he could offer in that moment. It was a really shallow offer. Hey, everything that you see on this, it's gold and it looks good. And it was such a shallow offer. Sin has such a shallow offer. Being the king of our own heart has such a shallow offer. Sitting halfway on the throne with God is such a shallow offer, because it might feel good, it might be good in a moment, but its long-term effects far outweigh the fun in the moment. But you know that there's a way to attain uncommon results. There's a way that we can have all that we're looking for, and it's not our way. It's not my way. It's his way. What we need a revelation of is very simple, and we've heard these things a lot. We've heard these verses. We've heard these scriptures. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We know this verse. We've heard Pastor preach on it. It's very simple. It says, behold, the old has passed away. The new is here. When we come to Jesus, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, the old things have passed away. The new has come. What about Galatians chapter 2, verse 20? It says, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. See, we need a real revelation of these two verses, that there's a new creature. There's a new person. You are not who you used to be and what you used to do when you come to Christ. Also, not only are you brand new, are you only a new creation, but you are not in control. I am not in control any longer. It's not I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. It's easy to clap for, but most of us quote this verse from the throne of our heart. We say, yeah. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me when it's comfortable. It's Christ who lives in me when no one else will find out. It's Christ who lives in me when I can make more money. It's Christ who lives in me unless, But instead, but it's the same as going to Egypt. Man, it's 40 years, but 400 of slavery. If we could really understand that it's not me anymore. It's not my decisions. It's not my throne. See, it's not me, Hova. It's not half Hova. It can't be me, Hova. Me, Hova's gotten me in a lot of trouble. Amen. Half Hova's gotten me in a lot of crappy situations. Amen. But now it's Jehovah, where I'm not on the throne, but just as this skit was showing is, I'm not on the throne. I've given the throne of my heart to somebody else, and his name is Jesus. He's the Lord of my life. He's not just my Savior, but he's also my Lord. That's where we find everything that we're looking for. Jesus gave a parable, and it was really powerful. He was telling a parable of a man who owned a field, and in this field, what he did is he went out and he sowed wheat. And he sowed the wheat, but after he had sowed wheat, his enemy came and he sowed tare, which is just a weed. It was worthless. And when harvest time had come, what happened is his employees came in, his servants came in and said, "Master, what happened? Did you sow bad seed?" "What are you talking about, man? I've never sown bad seed. Like, you're questioning my character." But he came and he's like, "No." He said, "Well, what do you want me to do? Just tear it all down, start over? We'll start fresh next year." He's like, "No, here's what I want you to do. Let it all grow. And when it's time to harvest, we'll separate the two. Now, if they look the same and they're in the same field, how will you know that one is different than the other?" It was cool. He was telling this in an agricultural time. You know that there's one difference, one major difference between wheat and tare. The one major difference between wheat and tare is tare, when it's fully grown, produces fruit. Or wheat, when it's fully grown, produces fruit. And that fruit makes the head bow down. So, when his servants would go into the field, they would see that some were bowed and some were straight up. And he said, "I want you to take all that are bowed, and I want you to place them into the storehouse. But every single one that's standing straight up, I want you to take it and throw it into the fire because it's worthless to me." We're worthless when we're Mehova. It feels good, right? Or else we wouldn't be here. When we have control, it feels good. Even when we have half control, like, "Well, I feel good because I gave God half of what I was doing. I'm pretty obedient. I follow when I did that." Has anybody ever reminded God of something? When he's asking you to do something new, you're like, "Well, I did that last week. Do I really got to do this?" But those are the ones that are thrown away. What God's looking for is not people that can stand up, not people that can sit on their own throne of their heart. Not half cheek it with God, but can be in full submission to God. And I'm only sharing this with you because I love you, man. Like, it's not a message that's super fun to preach. I'd rather preach something and we'd all be jumping and shouting and having a blast. That's fun. But I really think that this is what we need and this is what we're looking for. If we can have a body that's not in control of their own life, we can have a body that will experience revival. Revival happens first in us and then through us. Revival means something came back to life that was dead. Revival happens when we get off of the throne and we allow him to be the king. Anyone else happens when he's the king and we're not half-cheek and we're not sharing the decisions? We actually get everything that we're looking for. Anybody believe that the Bible's true? You know what's cool? When you read through the Bible, every single person that bowed down and was obedient to God, do you know what happened? They were blessed. They had everything that they were looking for. On the flip side, everybody in the Bible that decided to do it their way, to sit on the throne and not be obedient to God, do you know what happened? It wasn't a good outcome. Ever. I want to be someone who submits to God. I want to be someone who has everything that God is offering. And I want to be a part of a church that has that we're saying, you know what, God, it's you. It's whatever you want. Here I am. I'm not sitting on the throne. I don't want to half-cheek it. I want you to be in control because I know your thoughts are higher. I know your ways are greater. I know that you have better plans. I know that you have good intentions for me. I know that it's you that has all of these things already wrapped up. I know you have a purpose for me that's good. I know that you have intentions for me that are great. So God, I want to see those things, not my things. I want to read this with you, and man, if you have a phone, if you're taking notes, just write down the scripture reference and go write it down later. It's Romans chapter 6, verses 5 through 11. I'm going to read all of them because they're so powerful. But if you're taking notes, just go ahead and flip your notebook down. If you're thinking, just, man, calm yourself down for a second. Just listen to what God is saying. This is what he says in Romans chapter 6, verses 5 through 11. It says, "For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certain we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." And if you've come to Jesus, you now have the opportunity to be in the likeness of his resurrection. Keep going. "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ has been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Not just our Savior, but Christ Jesus, our Lord. Man, I've been praying about this. I've been going through this and really trying to figure it out and really get this in order for myself. And I want to see this in you too. And I've been praying about it. And this week, I really felt the Lord say this. He said, "Lordship is not a one-time decision. Lordship is honestly a day-to-day, a moment-to-moment decision, an opportunity-based decision every single time. When you're on the highway and someone cut you off, it is a lordship decision to not pull up on the side of them and run them off the ramp and let them know what you think about them. It is lordship on a Sunday morning when, like, man, I'm a little bit tight, to still give those tithes and offerings. It's lordship on Monday when your boss is treating you wrong, to still treat him right. It's lordship when you have that opportunity, when that ex from 30 years ago in high school hits your inbox. "I just found you on Facebook. How's life?" It's lordship to hit block instead. It's lordship when all your friends are going out to the bar and you're like, "Nah, I can't go. I know what's going to happen. I know where I'm going to go with this." It's lordship to lay down our desires and to live to God's desires. And ultimately, lordship holds every single thing we're trying to do, when it's me Hova or half Hova. But we get it from Jehovah. Let me read the the effects of lordship on your life. Number one, you have eternal life, which is quite powerful. And to me, that's like, okay, I'm good. I'm happy with that. That's very amazing. I get to go to heaven. Hallelujah. My sins are forgiven. But God is so good, he doesn't just stop there. Eternal life, Romans chapter 3, 23, Romans 6, 23, Romans 10, verse 9 says, "If you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that he died and raised from the grave, you shall be saved." We know the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Through lordship, we have access to eternal life. But it doesn't just stop there. Through lordship, now that we're sons and daughters of God, we have, the Bible clearly teaches that riches belong to the children of God. Proverbs 10, 22, "The blessing of the Lord maketh a man rich and adds no sorrow to it." Galatians teaches that if you are a son and a daughter of Christ, that you have access to the blessings of Abraham. And I would encourage you to go ahead and research what the blessings of Abraham are. You have access to those in lordship. Also, the Bible teaches that health and long life belong to the children of God. Psalm chapter 91, verse 16 says, "With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Proverbs 103, verse 2 and 3, it talks about forget not all of his benefits. You realize that joy is a byproduct of lordship? Seriously, submitting to God fully is a produces joy. John chapter 15, the Bible teaches that if you abide in me and you produce fruit, you're not just promised joy, but a fullness of joy. So when we truly submit to God, he promises us a fullness of joy, an overflowing, full capacity level of joy. I see so many people, they step into me-hova and half-hova because they try to produce their own joy. We can't have our own joy. We have to keep going to the stores for new joy. We got to keep going back to Egypt for new joy that we created on our own. But God has promised a fullness of joy. Also, inside of Lord, we have the seven redemptive names of God. The first one, Jehovah. Jehovah means Lord. Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. When he is your Lord, his job is to lead you, feed you, and protect you. That's what a shepherd does. The second one is Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. If he's your Lord, guess what? He's also your provider. He sees where you need provision. But if he's your Lord, it's not me-hova or half-hova. When we're at the throne, it's Jehovah. The next one, Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord that heals. If he's your Lord, he's your healer. Jehovah Tsidkenu, which is the Lord is my righteousness. If he's your Lord, he's also your righteousness. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. If he's your Lord, he's promised you peace, no matter the situation. Jehovah Shema, which is the Lord is present. Guess what? If he's your Lord, he's right here. You might feel alone, you might feel forgotten, but God is right here if he's your Lord. The last one, probably my favorite one, is Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is my victory. You know what's crazy is everything we're looking for and trying to produce on our own has already been bought and paid for on the cross of Jesus Christ. And we can receive it when we offer up the throne of our heart without any reservation, without anything held back, without half-cheeking it, and without completely kicking him off the throne. Everything that you're looking for is already in the hand of Jesus. Everything that you need is already in Jesus. Look, it's not about religion. It's not about going through steps. It's about loving him. And when we truly love him, and we truly, because like real love has real trust. When we really love him, we really trust him. And when we really trust him, we don't have to try to sit on the throne. We can let him have full control. Today, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you've never even met him as Savior yet. And you need a Savior and then you can have a Lord. If you've never given your life to Jesus, today is your moment. Right now is your opportunity to get right with God. Can I tell you, he loves you so much that he left heaven. He resisted sin for 33 years. He died on a cross to feel the weight and the pain of sin so that we wouldn't have to go through the punishment that we deserve. When he died on the cross, he died with you in his eyes and with you in his heart. He loves us that much. He's the only way to heaven. It's not being a good person. There's no other religion. He is the way to heaven. And it's paved with his love and bought with his blood. Today, if you feel that tug and that weight on your heart saying, I need to give my life to Jesus. Maybe you've walked away from the Lord. Maybe you don't serve him. Maybe you used to know him as Savior and Lord, but you've walked away. Today, I want to give you that opportunity to meet him as your Savior and as your Lord so you can run this out the rest of your life. If that's you in this place and you want to get right with Jesus, I'm just going to ask you to put your hand right in the air saying, I want to get right with Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Anybody else? Amen. Can everybody stand to your feet real quick? I don't know, the game starts in an hour. You're good. You got a couple more minutes. You're good. You're good. You're good. Come on. This is so important. If you raise your hand in a minute, I'm going to ask you to just get up out of your seat, and over on the side is my wife, and she's going to give you a Bible. She wants to pray with you, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to contact you about how to live this new life. Because you got there's so much to learn inside of this. It's easy, but you need a knowledge of it. We want to get you in a class called Rock Solid Faith. We want to get you in a group so you can get into this family and really grow and do what God has asked you to do. So if you raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to boldly get out of your seat and make your way right up over here. We're going to put our hands together because we celebrate the great decision you made. But if you raise your hand, we want you to go ahead right up over here. Come on, there are four or five hands. There's nothing to be ashamed of. This is what you've been looking for. We want to pray with you and give you a Bible. Amen. Now here's my next question. If you're in this room, and go ahead and bow your heads, close your eyes. Sometimes we don't like to be honest in church, and I want you to be honest because I want you to have this breakthrough. It's only going to be like 2 more minutes. You're okay. I really want you to have this breakthrough. I really think this is what you're looking for. I know it is. In this place, maybe you know, I love Jesus and I serve Jesus, but there's sometimes I half-cheek it, and there's sometimes I just kick him right off the throne. If that's you, will you just wave your hand at me? Come on, it's all right. It's all right. It's all right to be honest. Sometimes I still do it. I'm working on it. Now, if you waved your hand, what I want you to do, I don't need to lay hands out. I don't need to pray with you. This is you and Jesus. Here's what I want you to do. If you raise your hand, we're going to open up the altar, and I want you to go ahead and make your way to the altar and just make that commitment to Jesus. Lord, I'm giving you the throne of my heart. Here's the chair. Remember as we started that skit, when he looked at Jesus, said, I can't give it up. And Jesus said, if you can't, I can't. He's not going to make you give it. We got to open up our hands willfully and let him have it. If that's you in this place, I'm going to ask you to boldly, you raise your hand, you were honest with me, go ahead and make that commitment to Jesus today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray every single believer in this place has absolute breakthrough and absolute freedom, Father. We know that we want to serve you as Jehovah, not Meat-hovah, not Half-hovah, Father. We want everything that you have to offer. We want all the breakthrough. We want all the fullness of it. Father, today we love you and we thank you for the opportunity we have. Lord, thank you for breakthrough. Thank you for more than enough. Thank you for purchasing the ability to come to you. I pray in the name of Jesus for absolute shaking and revival, a hunger in our hearts that has never been there before for greater. Father, I also thank you that by the end of this year, we'll see 1,000 people in their services every single Sunday, not to build our kingdom, but to build your kingdom, to see people go from death to life. So in the name of Jesus, Father, this house commits their hearts to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, from the back to the front, can I hear a mighty amen? Amen. Look, we love you guys. We'd love to see you this week for fasting and prayer. If you have a jersey on that's not a Patriots jersey, there's special prayer right here at the front as well. We love you. Have a phenomenal day. There's welcome home weekend packets at the back.